Thank you for choosing to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. In a myriad and plethora of other podcast conversations you could be choosing, we are really grateful that you chose to click on our link. And why should you choose to listen to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast? Well, not least because we have honest, open, insightful conversations with leaders from across the recruitment industry and beyond. We often invite people on who are leaders and experts in markets and sectors that we believe we can all truly learn from. Just a word of thanks to our sponsor, Pager, and to our proud partners, Needy and Inclusion Crowd, and a warm welcome to our new partner, Keybridge IT. More about all of those later on in the show. So without further ado, let's get to know this week's guest. This next guest has been an absolute joy to get to know before I even pressed record. He's got some really great stories, and I think you're going to absolutely love the duo topics that we talk about today. One is very controversial indeed, but before we get to that, James Lovell-Bott is the founder of The Solution Group, and most recently in 2024, he launched You Recruitment as well. And we talk about, when you Google this, you're just going to see a whole world out there of the 1% Club. What is the premise of it? It's basically just going that one step further every single day in every action that you take. And we really unpick what this could mean to you as a recruiter, but also as a leader, and how you can get even more results and better results out of everything that you do from a productivity perspective. And then we totally flip the conversation and we have a very healthy debate, I'd like to say. I don't necessarily agree with everything James says, so we do debate it afterwards on his views on recruiters working from home and whether you as a leader have made the right decision to do hybrid or whether you are also like him and have mandated a full office attendance. Can't wait for you to get to know James. He's really electric and a really lovely, fun guy. So without further ado, let's jump into the episode. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link, pager.co, to book your demo. And remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And you know you're in for a treat of a guest when we're already gigging before I press record. And I have to say, having got to know this individual before I press record, I think we're in for a real treat today. And I think this is only his second time on a podcast. First time on a recruitment, I want to hasten to add. This is James Lovell-Bott, and he is the founder of The Solution Group and You Recruitment, and hopefully master of technology now that we've managed to get recording on this. Welcome to you today, James. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, sorry about my technology for you. It's really good sometimes.
It's amazing how I interview leaders from across the world, and I would say at least 50% of the time there's usually some kind of technical issue. Not always me.
It wasn't your fault, it's my fault, but we're here.
And we can hear each other now, that's the main thing. So there'll be lots of people not knowing who you are, so please give us a little introduction as to who you are and what you do.
I am James Lovell-Bott. I'm a founder of two agencies. One is brand spanking new, literally out of the packet as such. The main one that I've been known for on LinkedIn and stuff is the Solution Group. We're a construction agency based in London. That's what I've done pretty much all my life. I'm in year 18 or 17, however you look at it, in recruitment. Wow. So quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm 38, so pretty much most of my adult life.
Did you fall into it like everybody did?
Did I fall into it? I think I started in sales. I've always been a salesman. I'm not not going to sit there and say I sold sweets in the playground or done all that sort of what everyone seems to have done who becomes a salesperson. But I was always sales driven, and I worked in selling advertising when I first started in sales. Right. And someone just randomly said to me, he's like, you can make a lot more money in recruitment. And we had actually had a recruitment desk, but it wasn't recruitment as we know it. They were just
selling
advert posts in a newspaper. And then a friend of mine got me an interview where he worked over in Egham at a company called Proactive. And then the rest is history, really. Now, 17 years later, I've had the Solution Group now for 8 years, probably wrong, maybe correct that. And then New Recruitment is literally launched. I shouted about it yesterday. So
So June 2024, because we do like make these things.
Yes, of course.
It's literally a 2024 baby. We love that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. And what does New Recruitment do?
So New Recruitment is more of like a commercial agency. Mm-hmm. Nothing exciting as such in terms of I haven't gone out, I'm going to do a niche in crypto or something. But what I want to do, and the reason I've set it up is trying to make something better than it already is, not recreate the wheel as such. But I've seen an industry which for me, I think is asleep. I think it's very old fashioned. We cover like marketing, HR, accounts and finance, and administration.
Support. Yeah.
Yeah, business support. So it's very generic. It ties in with a Solution Group because we're very construction, but they are two totally separate entities. But we're going to modernize, sharpen up 1% Club it as such. And even with like the website, you can see we've just got that modern approach to recruitment. And my personal view, again, is the fact that I just believe that especially that sector is very much still 80s, 90s recruitment. Obviously, for anyone new listening who's new to recruitment won't know what 80s, 90s recruitment is, but we do. and I think we're just here to disrupt it, and that's what New Recruitment's here to do. So fingers crossed.
You've teased the audience with what we're going to talk about today with part of that description, which is the 1% Club. So you're going to incorporate this ethos, which we're going to explore now. You've already done that within your business. So for those who are frantically Googling away or asking their AI tool to, what is the 1% Club?
For me, the 1% Club is doing something that others aren't. So whether that could be in any form of life, like you mentioned about going to the gym, you're doing more than the person that's not going to gym, regardless of you, whatever you're doing, you're doing more. Now, I believe in it in every aspect. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm reading out of a book or off of another podcast, but I will get up earlier than everyone. I'm 17, 18 years in. I go to the gym. I'm in the office, starting to work latest 8 o'clock. But before that, I've already been to the gym.
Yeah.
My whole day is planned.
Yeah.
Whereas some people are still not even in the office yet. Like, I've had youngsters work for me and bits and bobs, and they'll wander in at like 8:30. Then they muck about with all their breakfast and that, and then they're half asleep. I'm already like 3 hours in. And that's the sort of thing I'm talking about, is like just doing that extra. There's actually a TV program called The 1%.
There is. When I was doing my research, I was like, oh my God, it's a massive subject.
And randomly, me and the wife have actually answered the 1% question once each, I think, which is pretty cool. But the 1% Club, it's just it's just like, even when you talk about world superstars in sports and stuff, Ronaldo still at 38 is as fit as a 21-year-old because he's doing the extra. And I think in recruitment, bring it back to recruitment, obviously, it's just like I've got guys in my office, and one of them in particular, they do that extra bit, if that makes sense. So it's not all about doing what one person would do out of 100 to make it 1%. It's more, if you do extra, you're doing more than most already.
Can I say one thing here? And I think this is where every single person listening can do this and implement it right now. As soon as they finish listening to this podcast, asking one more question to a client or candidate. Literally, 100%. That is the one thing you can do that doesn't need to be strategized. You don't need training in what to do. If you just ask one more question, which for a candidate question, it could be this. This is the question, right? Golden question. What else do I need to know from you today to be able to do a better job? Fuck me, that is a brilliant question. Done. Because so nobody will have ever asked your candidate that question before. I can tell you that now. But and I've if you say that to a client, what else can I do to help you today? You're going to think, what the hell?
It's like being on a phone call to a bank, isn't it? But you're like, nothing. But if you did say something, then it's like, unlocked something.
I guarantee here. I've been asking that question my whole career, right? Always asking that one extra question. And it could be, who else are you speaking to apart from me? What do you need? What else do I need to do today to ensure that you only work with me? Just that one extra question, instead of thinking, right, I've done all the questions on my script. If you're a new recruiter, or if you've been doing it 20 years, 25 years like me, asking that one extra question, I can just see you're smiling because, like, it's an absolute no-brainer. I wonder, and I'm being very contrary here, is it because people are actually inherently quite lazy and they just want to get it done and get quickly from A to Z?
I think so. I genuinely think there's a lot of, it's not even laziness, like more roboticness. Like,
possibly.
You see it, and to be in the 1% club again, like drawing that back in a little bit, is I don't want to be average in any form of life.
No.
Like, I don't have anything against people that want to be average, but I don't want to be average. I want to do, even when it comes to sales, and recruitment is sales. If you don't want to make loads of money, you don't want to be a salesman, don't get into recruitment.
No.
Like, because it's not for you. Like, it's a sales job.
Why would you want to do a job that's really, really hard and be mediocre? I'm not saying we should all be trying to be the Ronaldos, although, that would, for me, that's a great analogy, being whoever the GOAT might be in your mindset. But you only live one life. That is literally it. 100%. And to me, if you're not continuously pushing yourself and you're just coasting, you will look back and regret all the missed opportunities and the missed chances just by doing 1% more.
Just even literally that, like, again, new recruiters getting into the game. If you're in an office and you're working a company that's got, you potentially started at the same time as someone else, you don't realise, but you're competing with each other.
Yeah.
Get in 10 minutes before the other person and leave 10 minutes afterwards, because trust me, that will be noticed.
Regardless
of what you're doing in them 10 minutes. If you're sitting at your chair,
get your coffee.
Done. Like, it's not even that hard, but it seems to be really hard for a lot of people.
I want to spin this a little bit and suggest to you that, because a lot of our listeners are leaders too, what can leaders do to create a culture that encourages the 1% club mentality?
I think from my personal experience, and I do quote this to people asking, I've never had a recruiter leave to go and work in another recruitment company, which I think has really helped me in thinking I must be doing something right.
Yeah.
I've let recruiters go because they haven't done whatever and bits and bobs, but a recruiter, an actual recruiter, not like a trainee as such, has never left here to go anywhere else ever in 8 years.
Wow.
So I think they see what I do. I'm a leader in the fact that I don't sit in a closed office. I sit in an open plan office with everyone else. I always sort of like, it's us and not me. You work. I don't really like the fact that you work for me. I'm very much, you work with me. And again, I don't want to sound cheesy, but I think that by me wanting the best of everything in my life, I think other people, you buy into it. Mm. If you see me going right and knowing how much recruitment I've done and how long I've been doing it for, and go, well, actually, I could get to here. But what I'm doing is I'm also not your typical 60-year-old CEO. Sorry for any 60-year-old CEOs out there. But
it's all right. I'm just checking you said 60, not 50. Carry on.
Oh yeah, I was tactical there. I want to grow the path for them. So my senior guys, especially at the solution group, they've got paths that are basically could be 15 years long already in front of them.
Good.
But I'm not looking to make loads of money off of one person. You hear some of these people's commission structure, you're like, they're just going to leave as soon as their eyes open. But
yeah.
I think pulling it back in, I think they see me and think, right, okay. As long as they don't want to go and open up their own agency and stuff, because then they're going to be like, well, let's see what he's done and do our own thing. But the way I've set it up, you wouldn't want to go and set your own agency up because I'm going to look after you all the way. You know that I always want to do the best. You can see the way I am. And that's 17 years in. I should be tired and exhausted, but I've just created that whole environment where not corporate, it's very much, we have a laugh till we're crying sometimes. We literally can't even breathe about how much we laugh.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
On the flip side, I've got some of the best billers in the country in my office, especially in the solution group in construction. And there's also that hunger, one of them's 30, bought a Porsche the other day, brand new. And it filled me with bit like a dad pride.
Of course it is.
You've allowed
them to do that.
People are seeing it and thinking, wow, he's done that. And but they can see how hard he works. And one of the other senior boys, he's got a family and he's still got up and still billing big numbers. And I think they just see it and you've got to enjoy work. You spend most of your life there.
Well, you do spend most of your life there. So to unpick the bits that you said there, so I've understood it. You are a servant leader. You are literally serving with your people. You're not dictating. It's not a dictatorial role. And you are still in the trenches with them, which is why they see this superior mindset of I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's not do as I say. It's you see what I do. And I think that truly is always the pinnacle of what I see as the better, sort of most successful leaders, the ones that are the most respected, that have the best loyalty, which we don't often talk about. And that's probably why people are then happy, if we go back to the original question, which is this kind of circle of life of it, I suppose. They want to give the extra 1% because they know that they'll get rewarded for it. So I think 100%. That's where, and you're clearly hiring in the right people. And look, there is no leader listening that has not hired the wrong people. And at some point in my life,
I've done it a million times. Yeah,
because we've usually gone, oh yeah, they've worked for a competitor, they must be good, and not actually looked at what they do. Let's face it, it's not about.
I've definitely done that.
I think if anyone's saying they haven't done that, they're lying. I think, but you live and learn. But I think the 1% notion for me, it can be applied to literally every single thing that you do. And for those leaders listening who, it might be looking at their EBITDA, it might be looking at new office space, it might be looking at new revenue streams, and we don't need to revolutionize everything. We just need to do everything that we're doing better and more meaningfully. It can be applied, and you're not saying, I'm going to get to 20% this and 50% this, and I'm going to get 50 new heads. And you say 1%, just one extra action each day or each thing that you're doing, it's done. I think it's a very simple notion that I think everybody can get on board with. That's for sure. Now we're gonna change the subject slightly because I'm very conscious that there was something controversial. You're giggling that you said I've also got a controversial question, which this topic ain't going anywhere. And it's really funny because I it's not often I get asked to be the guest. I tend to be the host more than the guest, but I was actually recently on a show, and they'd asked me, are there any questions that you want to sort of cover off that you get asked a lot? And I was like, this one ain't going anywhere, which is the hybrid work from home versus being in the office. And I kind of gave my synopsis rather than my opinion, because I think people wanted to know generally what are people doing. And I was like, well, it's like asking what's the best commission scheme. Let me give you a million examples. So let's be controversial then. What are your thoughts on recruiters working from home?
Here we go. Okay. No offence to one of the people that works for me who does the hybrid. There's only, a few of them do. But my personal opinion here, statement, underlined, highlighted, is recruiters would struggle to work from home. In my opinion, I couldn't work from home. Reason being is two types of how you got to look at this. One is, for me or anyone else, home should be home. Work should be work. That door closes. That should be your home life, whether or not you're married, you're a younger person, you just live in home, your parents, whatever. That shouldn't be the same environment. So that's one of my reasons why not. The biggest reason for me is, and this is more towards recruitment. I'll give you an example. The example where working from home is okay, is what I'm going to say, is if you've got a job and you've got to fill 5,000 envelopes a day with a leaflet, right? I don't care where you work, because the end result is always going to be 5,000 envelopes full of leaflets. So you could do it on the train, you could do it on the beach, you could do it at home, you could do it in the office. That has no relevance. That job's fine. But in recruitment or sales, in particular, you have to be around other people. There's got to be an air of competitiveness. You can't. I rate myself as a really good salesperson. I wouldn't still be doing it this long. If you put me at home for a year, regardless of I've got a missus and kids, I wouldn't even work half as well.
Really?
I'm not surrounded by like-minded people. Like, you've got, my office is full of people that are competitive. The boys especially will shout about how much they build that week, and they will make you know, and they will definitely let you know if they know they're top. So if I'm sitting next to someone and they shout, oh, I've done 8, 9, 10 grand this week or whatever. If I'm the guy doing 7, I'm going to be sitting there and thinking, yeah, I'll be that 1% guy, because I'm going to make myself better than you, because I want to be the guy that wears the crown. Now, if you're doing that at home and an email goes out, oh, well done, so-and-so done X, and you're like, oh, great, yeah, what's in it? Oh, is that the doorbell? Oh, is that the flipping washing machine? Like, I just don't believe. I know, but
that's so funny.
I just don't think it just doesn't work for me. I get it with COVID. I get it off the back of that. I get it if you know from the start. So, like, for example, if say it's like a work from home, I'll be really also au fait with this now. If you're a dad or a mum that works around, you've got kids, I get it. Obviously, makes sense. You don't want to travel in, so I travel out. But 99.9%, I don't care. Get me the best recruiters in the country, put them at home for a year or put them in an office for a year. I guarantee you they double what they do in an office.
Do you think it is
passionate? Aren't I know.
Do you think you are very passionate about it? Do you think it is sector dependent? Because in your market, is it more important that people are having the dialogue? It's the pace of it. Whereas if it's more...
The construction part, because of, in particular, the solution group, we're 99% heavy on temp construction.
Yeah.
It's a fast-paced, different model.
Of course it is.
Got to be in an office. Like,
yeah, you wanna, absolutely.
Like, the senior consultants are with the resources.
Yeah.
There's that. You don't want to have to ring. You want to be able to shout over. So that is like a million percent has to be in the office. Perm recruitment, which is what one of the girls in the solution group does. She works from home 2 days a week. Now, don't get me wrong. She does change the dynamic a little bit, but she definitely works better in the office.
Right.
Because she's around other people. And the only time I think where you want to be on your own, and I work best on my own, is why sometimes I come into the office really early or stay later. It's just the admin tasks.
It's just, like,
they're boring with salespeople. I don't want to flip and send 94 emails. I don't want to fill in the database like every other recruiter. But just spend it before or after, like, because at home, you are not a salesperson at home. I'm just not having it.
I'm letting you personally speak, because I'm being a very good host, but there will be plenty of people like me that do work extremely well from home. And I have done since I set my company up nearly 19 years ago. And we were in an office. We actually went into an office, Laura and I. Laura runs Key Recruitment London. We went in an office about 2016, and then Shannon joined us 2017, and we stayed in the office until, actually, it wasn't actually COVID technically that shut the office. It was the year after, the landlord that we were renting off, they're the owner of the property basically put the rent up extortionately, and they just decided they'd had enough because they'd had such a battle through COVID. And at that point, we were already, we'd already gone from 5 days to 3 days to 1 day, where we realised we were actually only going in to just literally see all the other people because it was like a shared office. And we were the least productive on that day versus the other 4 days. So we were the opposite to your synopsis, because actually we measure outcomes, we measure interviews, and we were each traveling in for at least an hour to the office, which maybe that's a factor. So there's 2 hours out of your day, which you could be on the phone. And then of course you're chatting to people because we're very sociable, gregarious people, and there were other recruiters in there and we're sitting chatting, and then you're like, oh shit, it's 10 o'clock, I haven't done any calls yet. And then the next thing you know, then you might interview a candidate and come in and see you, blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, it's like, oh, do you know, I need to beat the rush hour, I need to go. And actually you've done 4 hours work, whereas at home, this is my typical day, because I'm like you. I get up at 4 to 5 in the morning, get out at 4 past 5, do an hour and a half walk, about 45 minute, 50 minute walk before the gym. So I get my circadian rhythm, then I do my gym every morning. I'm back home, shower, breakfast, sat down for about 7:30, and I genuinely don't really move then. I mean, I get up and make a coffee, I'm not, you know, I have my bottle of water, and I might get up, I might actually stand, you know, standing desk thing, you know, make sure I'm not just sat physically, but I can literally be like that till 6-7 o'clock at night, and I make a break in the day whenever that is, usually actually about 2 o'clock, because that's when most recruiters do their power hours. That's when most recruiters do their interviews. So they don't want to be talking to me. And then I'll go and, you know, I'll listen to a pod. Of course, I'll listen to a pod. That's all I listen to. So I actually spend about 9 to 10 hours a day on the phone.
Wow. Okay.
I'm a proper recruiter. You've changed my mind totally. I so sorry that I led you there, because I needed you to be contrary, because there are people listening that I absolutely think should be in an office, particularly, and I had this discussion the other day with somebody, and we actually almost had a real debate about the osmosis effect. And I'm like, listen, if you'd have put me into a remote environment in my first 3, even 5 years of recruitment, I would not be the recruiter I am today, categorically.
Agreed. I'm
same goes for Shannon, who will be listening to this because she produces the show. Shannon would not be the recruiter she is if she hadn't physically sat next to me for the first 3 years of her rectorate life, because you're listening, you're mirroring, you, what was that, what happened there, how do I do this? So I think it's really important that although my answer has countered you, the caveat is for people listening who are in the first, I don't want to put a time on it, but let's say
I'd say three to four years
genuinely if you keep moving sectors, no, you need to start again. To 4 years to become an expert. Then, and the problem I see, which I think is why you're really vehement about it, which I really admire and respect, is that so many recruiters have come into our industry post-COVID who had to do the hybrid and had to do remote for a while because it was forced upon us. And they are never going to be the true success that they deserve to be, because they're not, they don't see the benefit of being around.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I think, and that's definitely come into that
generation.
Yeah.
No, I think, and actually you've opened my eyes a bit there. I'm very open-minded in regards to, I'm not like this my way or the highway. And what you're saying there, especially what you're saying about the start, I guess I'm sitting there going, give me the best recruiters, we'll work better in office. But it depends how you look at it, because like you said there, when you're doing 1 day a week in the office and 4 days at home, that 1 day becomes a mother's meeting in bracket, doesn't it? Like,
even
us boys as such, and girls, but boys are as bad, if not worse, than girls sometimes.
Oh,
And if we haven't been with
each
other,
we're human beings.
We're going to crave.
I mean, I'm so excited. You know, Shannon, and do you know the other funny thing is, I mean, Shannon's listening now and she's practically half my age, she's still in her 20s, and we get together once a week, maybe once a fortnight, we'll literally fill a day with client meetings. She can't speak by the end of it, she's so knackered. So it's got nothing to do with age. I think it's about, I do genuinely think this actually segues very nicely to bring it all back to the beginning, which is this 1% that when you are attending an office and you're a part of that office, I think you just have to go above and beyond and keep contributing. Don't just go and sit in the corner. There is no one size fits all, James. That's the reality. And I think
there's not at all.
Everybody every leader listening, you have to decide what's right, what's most productive, but base it on data. Look at your productivity. And if your productivity, which clearly you did, if you are more productive as a business and more profitable and more successful, and that is your culture, you don't sugarcoat it. That is what it is. We are absolutely, we're an office-based business. That's it.
Yeah. And you've massively highlighted there with the permanent stuff, because permanent is obviously a lot more longer, more drawn out. And obviously a lot of people probably listening to this are probably more perm consultants, in all fairness. I don't know what the difference is in percentages with contracts and perm, but I feel like there's more perm recruiters than contract recruiters. And solution group, very much office-based, but you recruitment, again, if perm recruitment is longer-winded, longer conversations, solution group have a conversation of like 5 minutes with a candidate, if that, to get them on site. Like, it's like, bang, you're available, you've got this ticket, you've got the ticket, bang, you're in, see you later. It's very, like, fast.
Right.
It's not for everyone. I personally couldn't be on the front line doing that anymore. Like, I've done it for donkey years.
You learned your stripes, James. We'll let you.
Yeah, and the grey hair. But the perm stuff, you have proper conversations. Like, I don't know, again, you're the expert, not me, but I'm sure there's conversations where it's like well over an hour just chatting to a candidate.
You literally, in perm recruitment, you have more than one conversation to get to know a candidate. That's the secret sauce to really good perm recruitment, that whenever I speak to somebody for the first time, we'll finish maybe I don't even want to say an hour, maybe 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour, who knows? And I'll say that you do realize this is just the first conversation. Let's speak again tomorrow, so you've had time to reflect. That's why so many perm recruiters could call it, by the way. But that's a whole different podcast.
But it's about building
trust. You wouldn't go on a date with somebody and then think, oh, we've just had a really nice time together for an hour, and then go, right, let's move in together and have kids. You're like, whoa, slow this down. It's the same when you're thinking about hiring somebody, and when you're partnering somebody, it takes time to build trust. So that's just a whole different podcast. I should do a podcast show on my own about the relation between dating and recruitment.
There she goes. But it's going back and any advice to leaders, obviously, listen, there's leaders out there who've grown much bigger stuff than me. I'm sure we'll talk again on a podcast one day and the group will grow and stuff will happen and what have you. But I think the advice is leaders and new consultants really need to think about the 1% club, because it isn't easy, but it is also the best job in the world if you're good at it. There's no better paying job.
No.
There's no job that you'll never sit in a room, whether it's at home or in an office, where you're like looking at the clock, because trust me, that clock flies every single time. But you've just got to do more than the person sitting next to you. Start there. Look at the person sitting next to you. Hopefully you're listening to the podcast and they don't. And we'll get them to listen to it when they realise. And just do more than them. Start with the come in earlier. Come in earlier.
I agree. Prepared and 10 minutes earlier. Set your alarm 10 minutes earlier. It gives you 10 minutes extra in the day. And I agree with what you just said there. I know you were joking about listening to the podcast, but for people that choose to listen to podcasts rather than, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've got a million playlists. I've got, you know, every kind of genre of music. I listen to a million types of podcasts, but I'm choosing I actually mainly listen to, you know, growth, self-development, business-related ones, rather than listen to music when I'm walking. And that's even at the weekend. It's that 1% constantly. I've got an hour. Let's do it. I've got half an hour in the car. Let's do it. And if you're listening to this now, I'm guessing you want to elevate yourself. And all James is saying 100%. Is get to a meeting 10 minutes earlier, get to the office 10 minutes earlier, spend 10 minutes more researching a client before you do a BD call for them. More company for a candidate. It's just...
Ask that one more question.
Oh, my God.
That's a great question, by the way. You should put that in the notes and just... That question, good. Don't think of it as, it's all about, don't think about it as 1%. Just think about it as doing more in any form of your life.
Do more in the gym.
It's not that hard, is it?
Go up 5 kg next time you do a deadlift.
Just anything. Anything. Like,
walk an extra 10 minutes when you're adding to your steps. I just think these little things constantly fit. Then it's when you look back on the person you were a year ago, you will have progressed. Don't be that person that 100%. Regrets. Oh, James, it's been such a gorgeous pod. I could talk to you all day, but we can't. Thank you for joining us. How has it been? Are you going to do more recruitment podcasts?
I'd love to. Yeah, listen, I'll come back on whenever you need me. I do say how it is.
Love it.
I think I talk from experience. But yeah, I had a really good time. Really good to speak to you. And hope that one person listening does 1% more, and then they message you and say they're now a super recruiter.
If you are listening to this and you have taken on board this 1%, I need you to tag James. Tag him in a post. Make sure you credit James. Yeah. Just comment in this, I don't know if you can comment on Spotify now. I know you can comment on YouTube, but I don't watch it back. I can't bear watching it back. I do this in my hand too much.
Even on LinkedIn, just LinkedIn.
Comment on LinkedIn. Yeah. We want to know what's the one thing that you just did that you added, that you worked more, you worked hard, you asked one more question. Please, we want to hear how it worked for you. Thank you so much for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast.
Thank you.
We are thrilled to welcome to the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast a new partner in Keybridge IT. Keybridge provide 24/7 support to all of their customers. Established in 2010, Keybridge IT Solutions is a London-based, fully managed IT support and solutions provider. And for recruiters like me, we all need the IT expert to sort our problems out, whether it's with Microsoft Cloud, Microsoft 365, internet connectivity, security, Microsoft Azure. I mean, all these words actually mean nothing to me. What about you? But so much more than that. They work across many industries, not just recruitment, but if you're listening from the world of leisure or charity or finance or even marketing, they will be able to help. So click on the link in the podcast show and get to know Keybridge IT. We are so proud to be partners of Needy, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose Needy. Needy source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. The Recruiters Recruitment Podcast is thrilled to be partnering with Inclusion Crowd. Inclusion Crowd put the D into diversity, but do it disruptively. We love that. Really reflecting what we're about. I was introduced to Inclusion Crowd back in 2020, and I've been absolutely blown away with what they're doing to totally transform the recruitment and hiring sector. They believe at Inclusion Crowd that companies should be reflective of society, and that no matter who you are listening now, you have a story to tell. You have a contribution to make. An Inclusion Crowd educates you in allowing your voice to come out and share that story, but doing it in a way that educates your colleagues and your customers equally. Inclusion Crowd, like the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, has clients all over the world, and they specialize in our industry. What we all want to do together is to maintain best practice and to raise industry standards to enable us to attract and retain the best talent, but doing so inclusively and with true diversity. By doing this, by accomplishing a true EDI policy within your business, you will also retain the top talent as well as attract new talent, which is a win-win for everybody listening, making more profitable business and a much better industry, highly regarded. Inclusion Crowd are also the official awarding body for the Inclusion and Diversity Certification Mark within recruitment. We are so proud
to be assisting and partnering Inclusion Crowd. If you want to know more information, please click on the link in this episode and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when you do so. Now, back to the episode.